I too want to say we're thankful for these young people that are back here tonight and our visitors that we've got. And love to see people come to the house of the Lord and to worship. And there are some times that we just have to get brutal with ourselves concerning our spirituality. And I hope no one thinks I'm picking on them tonight. This is as much for me as it is anyone. But I'm going to be in a very familiar passage of scriptures where I felt the Lord wanted me to go tonight. In 1 Kings chapter number 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, if you've got your Bibles, if you somebody sitting next to you don't have a Bible, if you would please share with them. And 1 Kings chapter 17, and verse number 1. The Bible says that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." We know a little bit about Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. He was the highest ruler in the nation. His wife's name was Jezebel. She was evil. They done unthinkable, immoral. They had taken the nation down. As far as you could take a nation, perverse, sacrificing children to false idols. I mean, it was a terrible time in the history of our world. We don't know really a whole lot about this Elijah, that we know he was a Tishbite, but we really don't know where he come from other than that God raised up a prophet. He raised up a messenger. And he began to prophesy. And I see here that he come into the king and he spoke directly to the king. Now, unless you've got a word from God, that is not advisable for you to do. I don't see where he was invited. I don't see where he was asked. He went in and stood before the king and began to speak. I see that his message that he had, it was short. You know, when I was real young, I liked short preaching. I still like short preaching. I like long preaching too. I just don't like it repetitive. I can remember as a young child, one of dad would have one evangelist come by, and you remember Brother Charlie Cox. He'd preach the same message, a 10-minute message. He'd preach five times, and that was an hour long. I done got the point the first time around. I like short preaching, but I like long preaching. I just like preaching. But if I'm partial to anything, I think I like short preaching a little better. I see that he was stern in his message. I see he was surprising at what he had to say and who he had to say it to. It was personal. He said unto Ahab, he didn't beat around the bush. I see times that I've got up and preached and I can read a congregation pretty well. There have been times, Brother Virgil, I've got up and I knew exactly who I was preaching to. There have been times that I've got up and preached and somebody said, "Man, you stepped all over my toes tonight or today." Well, hallelujah. I may not have known who I was preaching to at that time, but God did. It's always good when we're direct and to the point. And the message is, it doesn't beat around the bush. It was a powerful message. He said, the Lord God of Israel liveth. By the way, he's still alive. He's still on the throne. He's still at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. God's not dead. His power hasn't diminished one bit. There's no expiration date on his. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His message was pointed, very specific. He said there will be no rain. There won't be any dew for 3.5 years. You'll find out later in the Scripture that for 3.5 years, he prayed it didn't rain. Guess what? It didn't rain. Then he prayed that it would begin to rain again, and it rained. Matter of fact, you'll find over in James chapter 5 that it says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of three years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We need some prayer warriors like they was in his day. People that know how to pray. People that know how to get a hold of God. When I look at what happened after the message was preached, it was very short, very personal, and very powerful, very pointed. The message was not up for discussion. It wasn't up for debate. God said it. You know, I remember a bumper sticker I've seen a few years back. I haven't seen one in a while. It says, God said it, I believe it, and that makes it so. It doesn't matter what you believe, brother. If God said it, it makes it so. Your opinion does not matter. They need to rip that thing off of there. He is God, and he is in control. But Elijah was talking to the most powerful man in the nation. There's a few things that got my attention. He preached him a message, short, sweet, and to the point. You'll read a couple verses later, Elijah got out of the country. There have been some times, Sister Bernadine, I preached, and I was almost ready to tell Joetta to get the car key started up and meet me at the side door. He had done delivered the message, and he was ready to get out of Dodge. But I see here that there was no response. I don't ever read where Ahab, the king, ever said one word, ever argued, ever asked any questions. There was no response concerning the prophecy that was given. The book of Luke. And I didn't give her this passage, but you'll find it in Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and verse 28 is the passage that I'm referring to. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah. And verse 28 says, as in the days of Lot. So shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. By the way, he's coming back again. I remember there in the book of Acts, Jesus was on the Mount of Ascension, and he had just departed. And that angel stood there and says, "Why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into the heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We don't know the day nor the hour that he's coming back, but I can assure you he is coming back. The days of Lot and Noah was a time of immortality. It was a time where there was no reviving spirit. God was not in the hearts of people. But you'll find out that he raised up Abraham. He raised up Noah. And Abraham began to preach. And Lot's family wasn't even spared. You'll read that his wife turned back and looked, and she became a pillar of salt. Noah preached for 120 years. He preached and he built an ark. He preached and he built an ark. For 120 years. And his family was the only ones that was saved. The only ones that responded. There was no response to the message. I was visiting with a pastor this week from Arkansas. I've never met the man. He asked me to call him. I called him and talked to him on the phone. He said, "Preacher," he said, I go to a church. He said, "I'm not a pastor." He said, "I want to get that out right up front. He said, "We've been without a pastor for, I forgot how many years," he told me. He said, "We preach. Different ones in the church that can preach, we preach." He said, "We've got probably 150 members in our church." I said, "Well, how many do you have show up on Sunday?" He said, "We run maybe 20 to 30. That's the church." I said, "Well, what services do you have?" He said, "Well, we have Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And then the following week we skip, and then we have it again the following week." I said, "Well, what are you doing between?" He said, "Well, the priest said there's three of us preachers there at the church, and we go to other churches and preach at other churches that doesn't have pastors." I asked him about the youth. "Don't have any." There was no response. I see that not only there was no response, there was no repentance. He never confessed. He never cried. He never committed anything to God. Everything remained the same. I don't see any sorrow. You know, it's the same way it is now. Oh, people are sorrow. We see sorrow only if they're caught. I can remember a time when conviction power used to deal with the hearts of people. Amen. They would come to an altar and cry and confess and repent. Now we're trying to find and look for ways to justify our actions. We're not sorrowful anymore. Not only was there no response and no repentance, there was no remedy. Nothing to change. You know, God could come down and pour out His Spirit. But when sin is prized more than the presence of God, Ahab was one man. And that one man was who the message was for. But it affected a whole nation. You may say, well, am I important? One man can affect a whole nation. If one man can affect a whole nation, one man or one woman or one child can affect a church. I told you last Sunday night, I believe in every service there is somebody that has a key to the service. We come here to worship, we come here to praise and obey God. And I'm getting to the title of my message. I'm going to preach my way there. But there was a question that came into my mind. Why did he not turn to God? After 6 months with no rain, we know what it's like in Oklahoma in the middle of August without rain. We've been what now, about 30 days without more than a quarter inch or so of rain? But could you imagine going 6 months without rain? A year and a half, 2 years? He knew the message. There was no response, Brother Virgil. Why? Why did he not respond? He knew that all he had to do was turn from his wicked ways and repent, and God would heal his land. It wasn't because that God did not like Ahab, or God had it out for Ahab, or Ahab had sinned too much, or Ahab had gone too far astray for the mercies and the grace of God to reach down and to pick him up out of the miry clay. That wasn't it at all. There's nobody that is beyond or below God touching and God helping and God bringing up. Why? The answer is in the middle of the verse. Elijah said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." Now listen to these next four words. "Before whom I stand." Ahab seen the prophet Elijah. But he never seen God. There's somebody else in the room. Brother Virgil, you can understand me. You've pastored before. But it does a pastor's heart good whenever, after service, people tell you, I enjoyed that message. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that. I enjoy the compliments. But we've come to a point in time in our church history that the church is wanting some intellectual theology that is preached from a minister with a silver tongue and be able to entertain. But if all you're seeing is me, and you're not seeing God, it's no wonder we're not getting the response and the repentance and the remedy that we need for the church of tomorrow. I told you this is going to be brutal tonight. Sometimes we have to step back and take a look at our spirituality and realize that there's someone else in the room. The devil would like for you to think that he's afar off. But he's not. There's somebody else in the room. He's here. I was thinking to myself, the church up there at Chelsea, Devon, that Dad pastored for a number of years, used to be one of the bigger churches in Chelsea. I think maybe the UPC might have been the only other church that might have been bigger at the time. But I remember when they took the altars out. As it was in the days of Lot and in the days of Noah. No one repenting, no response. I know that Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Noah, there was a lot of things that they had in common. The sexual immorality and the various things that was going on. But there was also no response. I don't know if you're paying attention to the Middle East right now, but I believe he's coming. Soon and very soon. Everything's lining up. We've got nation against nation. The teams are divided. They're already in place. Does it bother anybody else for them to come on the news and say that Russia and China is now supporting Iran? It bothers me. We're looking at key players. Biblical, prophesied. The signs of the times. Just like they was here in Elijah's day with King Ahab. I can remember back 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I'm not off, am I, Devon? We used to have altar services. Sister Marcia, you remember it? I mean, whenever the preacher would get through preaching, we was at least 20 minutes, an hour sometimes, after preaching was over with. Now we barely get through the first course of the first song and everybody's up. Boy, I felt that. It's lonely up here. Why? No response. I can remember people getting up and singing. And the Spirit moving on people. And people responding. Now they never even shed a tear. Church, it's time we wake up. It's time we wake up. He's here. But I'm afraid too many times that we look at the person delivering the message or the song and not the person that's in the room. He's in the room. I've done my best to minister. Let's come around these altars. Let's have a season of prayer. Can we spend some time around the altar tonight praying? I don't want to be like Ahab and there not be a response. No repentance. No remedy. The blood hasn't lost its power.